Hello, and welcome to a very special What the Bleep Are You Playing? We're going to recap the Summer Games Fest. We just finished and watched Jeff Keighley introduce a whole bunch of games and trailers and stuff, and we're going to talk about it here.
Yes, we somehow managed to stay awake.
There were a couple down parts of it, but that it's 2 hours long of just trailer after trailer after trailer. It was.
That's true.
Mason's attention span, that's like 5 days.
That's true.
It's very fair. That's very fair.
And I think before we get into the actual show, I think Keighley actually did a very smart thing earlier this week when he said, reduce your expectations.
Yeah.
And legitimately that helped because the expectations were sky high. By the time this started, I had no expectations, and I came away saying, yeah, that was solid.
Yeah. Came away like, there was some cool stuff there.
But if I had had the sky-high expectations, honestly, I'd come away and been like, wow, there was no...
Yeah, it's like, there wasn't shit, but straight up told people, lower your expectations.
We're gonna just kind of go through a lot of the games that we liked. I have them all written down, every single game, and marked which ones I'm going to talk about, interrupt in at any point if there's a game you want to talk about, mm-hmm. And go through there. I do want to, off the top of it, was really cool. They did the top, like, 10 Steam games, like, you know, yeah. The top three. And yes. A game that we have played that will be up on our YouTube in the not-too-distant future, Buckshot Roulette, yeah, was on there. And that was really cool.
That was really cool. Mm-hmm. It's putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound, but I do appreciate Keighley kind of saying, like, yes, indie games are good.
Mm-hmm.
The future, the games industry isn't in a great place right now. So this is kind of the future of it. Again, Band-Aid on a bullet wound, but I appreciate him actually saying something.
Keighley is one of those that I do think tries. He has his flaws, he tries, but you could see he does hear a lot of the criticism. Mm-hmm. One of the criticisms of a couple years ago at the Game Awards was, you literally had no women on the stage.
And
he's got a co-host this time who did a lot of announcements. There were a lot of women developers that came out. And he's also like, he does try. He's got flaws, but he's trying.
He's got plenty of flaws, but yeah, the dude tries.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah. But now on to what
the
actually
games.
Matters.
The games, and unlike the Game Awards, there's no awards in the middle of it, so...
It's just games.
The first thing we kind of knew was coming, but they started right off with Legos.
Yeah, Lego Horizons... I firmly stand by Horizons as an industry plan franchise. I've never seen anyone who's like a massive fan of this series.
I know a few.
I know they're out there, but I'm like, man.
I know a few that were really big on the first game. As a franchise, it seems like the first game was this huge thing, and then the second game was just kind of there.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of good fans. But it is really cool that a franchise is getting a Lego game. Like, that's a really cool thing.
Like any
game franchise just getting like, the possibilities are endless if that's now an option.
I mean, people lost their mind when Portal and Sonic the Hedgehog was added to Lego Dimensions. So.
That's what I love that we're seeing with Lego is that it being like less of a franchise and more of like a medium,
mm-hmm.
A way of presenting things.
And the other big thing on this is Horizon on the Switch.
Yeah, that was the thing. Everybody was like, that was the big thing is everyone was like, Horizon's on the fucking Switch now?
Yeah, they were like, okay, this PlayStation franchise on the Switch. That's cool.
Yeah,
it is.
I think it helps that it's a spinoff.
Admittedly, with the gameplay that we saw, it looks very suited to the Switch.
Oh, yeah, very, very much. It's just how finicky sometimes these studios are with giving up their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It is very cool that, like, legitimately we are getting this. And again, this might... For Sony, I think it's a smart move because someone might play this who hasn't any idea and was like, oh, I kind of want to try out the other games in this franchise. How do I play those? So it's a smart move, I think, and it's one that doesn't always happen. So kudos there.
Yes.
I think we're witnessing the slow, very slow, but I think we're witnessing the slow death of exclusivity.
We'll talk about a few exclusive things on this list that... Then there was a few games that just in there that I'll just rattle off quickly that, you know, I didn't think need much conversation, but I do want to mention No Room in Hell 2, was an interesting looking little game. Cool zombie design.
Zombie shooter type thing. Mm-hmm. It looks really cool.
And then
it didn't look like there was anything that really separated it from other zombie games, but
and then decades after the last one, I think we got the Harry Potter Quidditch Champions that could be interesting.
It looks fine.
It could be interesting. I didn't have any of those marked, but then the next thing that really legitimately looks awesome, and maybe I don't know if it's my favorite, but it's up there. Cuff Bust
looks so fun.
Solo developer, the same guy who did Choo Choo Charles.
Which, man, this is a switch up from that.
Yeah. In a way, if you've played Choo Choo Charles, you know he has kind of a sick sense of humor. And kind of a random sense of humor as well.
Mm.
So this feels like it's going full into that.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, when I heard from the developer of Choo Choo Charles, that game ends with a teaser for a sequel about a character named Gus. And I was like, oh shit, is this the Gus the Bus game? But no, it's Cuff Bust, and I'm like, oh, this looks really fun.
It looks like you're a bunch of little, like, cute little things breaking out of prison.
Like mice-like things breaking out of prison.
Look like Care Bears mixed with mice.
Yeah.
Care mice. And breaking out of prison.
And they didn't really give a whole lot of details on the game, but that trailer sold me. It was a game like, yeah, I want to play this. This is like the perfect like indie Steam downloaded game to play.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It looks like it'll be maybe another Lethal Company where there's just a bunch of random bullshit.
Yeah.
That you can upload to YouTube for the funnies.
Exactly. We got a quick little teaser. They're going to give a whole lot more of the later stuff, but Star Wars Outlaws.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing new really other than Lando in the background of one of those.
Sean,
I missed it.
I wasn't entirely certain it was him either, and then Jeff Keighley said it, and I was like, oh, okay.
Which, fine, we didn't get any gameplay stuff. Again, I am very conflicted on Outlaws because as far as the game goes, but I hate a lot of the Ubisoft practices that are already being implemented in it, so yeah.
it's another Ubisoft Star Wars game.
Yeah. Eventually. It's not day one. I've already kind of made that decision.
Oh, I know it's not day one, but
eventually
you're gonna get it.
There was a kind of the biggest surprise announcement that came in this that I don't think anybody was talking about. Civ 7.
Yeah.
I
have no connection to the Civilization games, but I know a lot of people love them, so it's like Civ 7 announced, it's out there.
With a really cool, really, really cool little teaser for it. Like, we were kind of sitting, what is the game? Train, what is this? Oh, Civ? Really?
There's a transition that transitions.
Hopefully.
A transition that went from the city skylines and its clouds to the exhaust fume of a rocket. It's like, that's a good transition.
Yeah.
And then that's what went straight into Civ 7.
But it was followed by, I know, one of Thomas and I's more anticipated games, Black Myth Wukong.
Black Myth Wukong. I feel like I've been hearing about this game for fucking 8 years or whatever. finally has a official release date.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't show anything, but again, we've been seeing
stuff. We saw a lot of gameplay stuff at the Game Awards, if I remember right.
Yeah.
And it was because that was a pretty extensive trailer. So yeah, this was more of a like, hey, here's the release date.
Yeah, because Black Myth Wukong looks fucking sick.
It does. Give me any Sun Wukong stuff. I'm interested. So then we got a couple things that we're not really going to mention too much. Things like Asgard's Wrath. Okay. Once Human. We did get Space Marine. I know Thomas is excited, seems like we get a trailer for that every single one.
That's why I'm not going to bring it up much because they gave a pretty extensive gameplay thing a couple months ago, I think. So.
And then the game I want to bring up here is an Xbox game. So one I can't play from the Atlas, from the Persona people, but Metaphor. And they actually brought some of the guys out, to the developers that work on it. And legit, it looks like a Persona-type game, RPG, obviously. Surprise, Atlas doing that. But I like that kind of like their jobs are their jobs. There's a lot of really cool, interesting things, and it looks like a really interesting RPG. Unfortunately, it's an Xbox game right now, so I am a little SOL right here, but...
I told you, if you get Game Pass, you can try. You can make your laptop explode trying to play it.
All right, speaking of exclusivity...
Yeah.
Arkham Shadow.
Batman Arkham Shadow exclusive for MetaQuest 3 or whatever. I don't play VR. Mm-hmm. I just don't. And I love the Arkham series. I do. There's a whole 3 good games in it. We're not thinking of the same bad one. But anyway, again, I like the idea. I like the story. Roger Craig Smith returning as Batman. While obvious because of the sad passing of Kevin Conroy, it's nice to see. Looks like it's a sequel to Origins, which I think is actually a really underrated game.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, it's exclusive to goddamn VR.
The other problem I have with it is an industry thing, and that is that we got a teaser-type trailer beforehand and said, hey, tune into this, you'll see more. And then we got another teaser thing. We have yet to get gameplay from it. And they keep telling you, come to this and listen to this, watch this. And again, we're going to watch anyway, but it's like, if you don't have anything to really show, don't show it.
Yeah.
The most
you've already teased it.
The most we've gotten is like an outline of the plot for this one, which we could have guessed is shit's gone fucky in Gotham.
Yeah. It was one of those that just like...
said like gameplay at Gamescom or whatever.
Yeah, but they advertised gameplay here beforehand, so who knows? That's what I heard. Initially, they were going to give more like gameplay information. But regardless, it's my problem of when you don't have anything, if you've already announced it. Like, I have no problem with an announcement and we don't hear about it for 3-4 years because it's development. That's fine. It's annoying, but that's fine. Mm-hmm. You have to do it. I don't like when you announce it and you just keep showing teaser trailers for stuff over and over and over again. It's
a little ridiculous.
You don't have anything new.
Something.
You don't have anything new. You don't have a release date. You don't have anything. You're just trying to sell, again, like if this were the Arkham Shadow movie, awesome. But
the neat thing about that trailer, though, is that they're kind of building up that the big villain for this is going to be Ratcatcher. And I don't know if either of you guys caught it, but the song that they used in the trailer was Smashing Pumpkins,
mm-hmm.
Rat in a Cage. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a neat addition.
Yeah. It's nice that we're getting something that focuses on a lesser villain.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
again, there's a lot of cool things about it. It's just it's stuck on an exclusive platform, and we really don't know much else.
We don't know anything about it.
Yeah. All right, the first moment that Thomas sat up.
Yep. Street Fighter VI got its second wave of DLC announced because Akuma's finally come. He's the last of Phase 1. And everyone was like, okay, who's going to be Street Fighter VI DLC Wave 2? People were thinking maybe Dudley or Alex, people like that. And then Capcom comes out and says, no, bitch, Terry motherfucking Bogard from King of Fighters and Mai Shiranui from King of Fighters. Fatal Fury as well, but you know what I mean. And I was instantly like, I'm sorry, fucking
And then they announced two more Street Fighter characters.
Yes, they announced Elena from Street Fighter 3 and 4. Fan favorite character. She's a very fun character. I am glad to see her back. She's a very nice character. And then
somehow M. Bison returned.
Goddamn motherfucking asshole. Fuck. How the fuck is he back? He
somehow.
Fucking blew up!
Somehow.
One more!
The funniest thing about the trailer is like the tease of Bison, and then it's just hat is glowing over the chair and floating. I was like, did he get like the Mario Wonder hat? What's going on here? Or Mario the Mario Odyssey hat? Cappy.
It's because, spoilers, in Street Fighter V, when he dies, all that's left is his cap.
Mm-hmm.
But he blew up! I'm not getting past that. Yes, it is Rise of Skywalker all over again. He blew up!
Maybe he's like Cyborg Bison. And Bible.
He blew up! All of him!
We followed that with something really cool that, took a second there, but Tears of Metal.
Yeah. I had, like, no interest in this for a bit, but then I saw, like, oh, it's a Scottish-themed hack and slash.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty neat. And also
Roguelike co-op. Yeah, it hack and slash
with a really interesting art style.
Yeah, like it took a second, like, oh, because we were coming down from the Street Fighter, like, okay, really cool. And then, like, this weird Scottish Braveheart thing starts, and we're like, ha 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 ha. That's cut. And then as it goes on, like, Oh, wait, I'm actually like, kind of interested in this.
This actually looks kind of sick.
Yeah, that looked really cool. That was one that I think felt like, oh, yeah, that's something that I could play a bunch of.
For sure.
And then my trailer.
Yeah, you got Sparking Zero.
Sparking Zero. We didn't get a whole lot new in the trailer, honestly, other than that there is going to be offline multiplayer. There is going to be What Ifs. That was the big announcement. It's like, you have What If story that you can play. And one of the things that came out afterwards on a lot of those things is that the What Ifs, you can create your own stories and upload them. That's for other people to see.
That's really cool.
So, like people are immediately, like, all the possibilities and that. So, like...
That's super
cool. And so, like, there's been a lot of a complaint of, like, oh, the graphics aren't super great. There's a lot of people that are there. With the amount of stuff they have packed into it, I don't care if it was PS2 graphics.
Okay, but, go ahead. Just a personal thing. If you say it doesn't look good graphics, so you're on crack.
Yeah.
The game looks fucking phenomenal.
It looks gorgeous. But a lot of people, it's not the most amazing grit. Yeah, it looks great. I love it.
It sounds like they're making, like, Dragon Ball Maker.
Dragon Ball fan fiction.
Yeah.
The next thing I had Mark to talk about, Fatal Fury, City of Wolves.
Yes, but first I want to talk about Delta Force.
You want to talk about Delta? Okay.
This is just an entirely me game. I like tactical shooters. Yeah. It looked neat. That's it.
And it was going to have, it looked like free-to-play multiplayer, but you had to pay for a campaign is what it looked like.
Which, I'm okay. If I have to pay for a campaign, I'm fine with that. So
that's a good way to do it. Play if you want to play the game with friends and just play, you can do that. But if you want to do a campaign, that's perfectly fine.
I'm okay with that. I will probably buy the campaign because, again, I like tactical shooters and it looks like they're doing the Black Hawk Down story, so okay.
Yeah.
But yes, then we get to Fatal Fury, City of Wolves. My child has returned.
When we saw that SNK was going to be here, we were kind of trying to speculate what it was going to be.
Yeah. So this is after a 23-year gap?
Something like that. The last game, Garo Mark of the Wolves, was in 2001 or something like that. Fatal Fury City of Wolves is back. Looks phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely
gorgeous. Amazing stylized graphics. Uh-huh. I love that it almost looks like you're pulling them out of a comic book is kind of the style they look like. They have that 2D look while being in 3D that I love.
Incredibly thick outlines, which I think helps separate it from King of Fighters.
Yeah, so. It looked really cool, and it's awesome that this franchise is back.
B-Genet is back for all you horn dogs. I think a new character was revealed. The character that was shown, I forget his name. He didn't look familiar to me, but I'm also not super versed.
And they didn't spend super a lot of time on the characters, honestly.
Yeah. Another important thing from that is that mini games are back, which hasn't been seen since Arno Fighting. So
a while.
That is another thing where it's like, oh, it's back. That's really cool.
It's back.
Yeah.
Then we had a little bit of a lull. There was a mecha game. Things, but then we got Jason Blum come out on stage. Blumhouse Games launched.
An entirely new development studio. They showed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And
they did show a lot.
Six games, I think. One, two, three. Yeah, six games.
Mm-hmm. Of the, I think all of them looked interesting.
Because it's like funding this like indie look to the games, but like they're going to have more money behind them. Yeah. Like it's a really interesting. Like, all of them had just, like, this unique feel to them. And then you had the final one, which was Project C, which I believe had Cronenberg. Not David Cronenberg.
Cronenberg is Brandon?
Yeah, I think Brandon Cronenberg working on it, which was really cool. They got – it's Blumhouse. He's going to find horror minds all around that are going to work on these things.
If more developers get a chance to do stuff they love to do.
Which is kind of what Blumhouse Studios has done. They let people create horror movies. Now you get a lot of silly, goofy PG-13 horror, but that's okay.
Which means look forward to horror games flooding the shelves for a couple of years.
I do really like Blumhouse as a movie studio, but they're very hit and miss. For every Get Out, you get a Fantasy Island. For every Megan, you get a FNAF. But that's probably what's going to happen with With.
Yeah, well, but that's
for
when...
For every Get Out, you get three Fantasy Islands, let's be honest.
Look, Fantasy Island is worth it just for Michael Pena to say fantasy over and over and over again.
Okay, well then for every Megan, you get a Truth or Dare.
Ooh,
that movie was... Okay, just a weird quick tangent, Truth or Dare. It's a bad movie. Let me tell you, it is a bad movie. But it's hilarious that they basically end the movie by unleashing it on the world. The only way they can stop it is like, well, everyone else now. It's really dumb. But anyway, then we got my sit-up moment. And Mason and Thomas, all of us sat up.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Power Rangers is back.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Rita's Rewind.
Once again, Hasbro got all of us to get up from our seats. How do they keep doing this?
A 2D beat-em-up style, similar to Scott Pilgrim vs. the World or TMNT Shredder's Revenge.
But it also has a lot of those, like, elements that look very much like...
like Light Gun.
Yeah, there we go.
Yes, there's a lot... There's even vehicle sections.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a big-budget 2D beat-em-up.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, I think there are probably more interesting ways to bring the Power Rangers into different video game genres, but I ain't gonna complain about a fun beat-em-up.
Yeah,
like,
right? Like, yeah. Come on now. I don't even like Power Rangers that much, and this looks really cool.
But yeah, it would, you know, I am fully on board with a classic arcade beat-em-up with Power Rangers. Yep,
for
give it
sure,
to me.
For sure.
I feel like then they kind of had a little bit of a down bit. We had, like, a cute game, Deer and Boy, that looked there, Kingdom Come Deliverance 2.
Had the unfortunate lot of coming after Power Rangers.
Yeah, Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, I know a lot of people really like
mm-hmm.
Kingdom Come
it's
Deliverance.
It's got really witty dialogue. The game didn't necessarily strike me, but I did like the dialogue consistently.
It looks fun.
Mm-hmm.
It looks cool.
Was it Slitterhead?
Slitterhead. Silent Hill creator making a game that is really interesting, and I know that it a lot of people are really interested. Like, it looks unique. Like, very few games look like this.
It does very much look unique.
Get to make weapons out of your blood, because I guess every character is power from Chainsaw Man.
Yes.
That's a game I'm gonna have to play first before mm-hmm. I want.
It definitely was one that, like, I'm intrigued with. It's not one that I was like, oh, I'm gonna run out and buy, but I looked at it and I was like, I really want to see how this game works.
Body hopping thing that
yeah.
was interesting. So.
It definitely, and it's said it, we hadn't really seen much of it for a couple of years at this point. Like, it was at a couple of Game Awards ago.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, you know, it was a big one then, and it, bad title. I do think Slitterhead is a bad title, but
but
at the same point, interesting.
I kept thinking it was Slitherhead, and then I saw it, it's like, no, that's Slitter.
Yeah. Slitterhead.
Slitterhead, yeah, that's weird.
Slitter, I barely even know her.
Oh.
Anyway, Thomas then got the excitement of the next game.
Yes, Killer Bean.
Yeah, which is
the only one who was excited for it out of these three.
I mean, I didn't know much. I knew about the story behind the guy who made it. I didn't know much about the game. Like, it looks fun.
Yeah, it's essentially, I've been following the game for a while. It's essentially, it's a balls-to-the-walls action.
Mm-hmm.
You can drive around, you can do gun kata, you can...
It's got bullet time. I'm interested.
Bullet time, you can shoot bullets out of midair and then make them ricochet into other people. It's basically the closest thing we've gotten to a new Matrix game.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fitting because the guy who made it was a VFX artist for the Matrix series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks interesting. It looks unique. It looks very cool-looking characters. It goofy, kind of that Deadpool-esque humor that kind of is winking at the screen the entire time.
Yeah, but the characters are talking coffee beans. You're gonna get that.
Yeah,
it looks weird. Looks really, really weird. And I had kind of known what Killer Bean was. I just kind of always assumed it was a joke.
I mean, yes, it is a joke, but it's a joke that. Like,
but this joke is real.
None of it's meant to be taken seriously, but the guy is like, oh, I can make a cool game. Killer Bean is ultimately a reason to make cool action sequences, and now it's a reason to make a cool action game.
Exactly.
I really hope this game makes me feel like a bean.
This is, I think, when we had the biggest, one of the biggest dead points in the show. nothing really struck me for a while. I mean, I guess in Otria, the last song kind of was the Spanish.
It looked like a Spaniard version of Dark Souls. Mm-hmm. The demo's out today.
Yeah.
So that
might be one that I check out with the demo. Like, it looked interesting. I like the Spanish, but it was kind of like, we were just kind of like a lot of just, eh.
The only thing that kind of grabbed me about that one was the fact that the masks were the face.
Mm-hmm.
When they took the mask off, he literally like tore the guy's face off.
Yeah, it had a really unique feel to it, but like, I don't know.
Yeah, Souls-likes are, they're good, but also I'm like, that's a lot of Souls-likes that are out right now.
But the next big thing, I think, was that Inner Sloth came out. Yeah. And they announced something so cool.
Yeah, Inner Sloth announced Outer Sloth, which is a way to fund a bunch of indie games.
Basically, they made a crap ton of money with Among Us, and then we're like, we're gonna give back to other indie studios, which is a really, really cool thing. Yeah.
And they had, I think, 6 or 7 games. All of them looked really cute, cool indie games. There was one that was like on Mars, like you were building stuff. There was one where you were like on an island. There was like, it was just all different types of games. And I was like, that's really cool. They weren't like seeking out something that like something necessary that like they're like, oh, that's what we would make. They're like, oh, that looks cool. I want to play that. I want to fund that. And I was like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
But of course, they got their own announcement afterwards.
The Among Us show.
The Among Us show.
Which is something we kind of knew was coming. And for a while, we've mm-hmm. gotten like a cast announcement earlier this year, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But now we actually got like an idea of what it looks like. And shock of all shocks, it looks a lot like the game.
Yeah. It's really cute little animation. I like the style. I'm all for fun little animated shows, so. Mm-hmm.
I'll definitely be checking it out.
Yeah, it's probably one that, like, I don't know, like, if I'll be, like, making sure I, like, watch everything and keep up closely, but it's one that's like, yeah, I'll watch an episode here and there and kind of catch up.
Although, yeah, it's got a fun cast, mm-hmm. and if the writing's good, then it's gonna be, it'll be a fun time.
But this is when the bangers started coming, back to back. We started with Sonic X Shadow Generations. Mm-hmm. We knew it was coming. I think Thomas said afterwards was like, it's pretty clear they wanted to make a Shadow game and were kind of told, last time you did that,
So out of Sonic Generations, I've seen the comparison a few times. It is Sonic's equivalent to Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury.
Mm-hmm.
Shadow's Journey is Bowser's Fury.
Yeah. They give Shadow cool new powers. It looks like they've added a lot of the levels that he runs in. I was like, that is really cool that they're going there. Okay.
They're going to like Kingdom Valley from Sonic 06, Rail Canyon from Sonic Heroes.
Like, there was one from Frontiers as well, it looked like.
I think so, yes. And there's like, no one was asking for those back, but it's cool that they went there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's cool that they took stuff from not as beloved games.
They weren't just trying to replay the hits here. They're trying to do something new with this, which I really appreciate, while still giving you a version of a game that everyone loves.
Because replaying the hits is what Generations is for.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, it's a really cool idea. I think, legitimately, we'll see when we play the game, but legitimately, I think Sega's hit the ball out of the park with this here. Like, this is a great idea across the board.
Shadow is gaining new powers. I think the theory is he's embracing his Black Arms DNA, his alien DNA. That's what's giving him his new powers.
Where he has wings.
Where he gets fucking bat wings because they're trying to make him more like Venom, so it'll appeal to me now.
They're like, we need to get Thomas on our side. But also the skin that they unveiled at the very end.
Yeah, there's actually two skins. One was the Sonic Adventure, just polygon version
mm-hmm.
for Sonic. That's just very funny and cute. But for Shadow, they had Terios, the beta version of Shadow from all the way at the beginning of Sonic Adventure 2's development.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a deep fucking
cut.
Look, if you're going to do DLC like a special pre-order bonuses, that's the type of thing I want for pre-order bonuses.
Absolutely.
Cool, absolutely. Weird pulls for the fans and fun things. Like, that is exactly what you should be giving as your pre-order bonuses.
Yes.
I mean,
Star Wars Outlaws.
What if we gave you a gold blaster? But I don't want a gold blaster.
It's hey, do you want access to an exclusive level? We'll pay $40 more.
Golly.
What?
Thanks, Ubisoft.
Who knows? Maybe this will be the thing that gets me to turn to Shadow.
Even if not, it looks like it's going to be a fun... Like, Sonic had a really good couple of years with games, and it looks like they're going to continue that. Mm-hmm. Like they have kind of now gone banger after banger in the last couple of games. So it looks like this will continue, as well as, you know, they have a big movie coming out later this year.
Mm-hmm. Which Schiff Keighley now says, hey, they have a bigger movie coming out this year anyway.
Yep.
They do?
Yeah, I know.
Haven't seen anything about
it. Well, yeah, because, yeah, you know, because Paramount's like, do we need a trailer? I don't think people don't watch trailers. What is this? Some sort of game festival where we play trailers? Nah.
My guess is it's going to be a Comic-Con. That's what I'm guessing.
That's a likely guess. About a month.
Okay, so we're close.
Yeah, so that's what I'm guessing.
So the next one, I don't know if the game is really the exciting, but my God, that trailer was amazing. Dune Awakening. It's a Dune MMO. I don't like MMOs. I don't play.
It's a Dune survival MMO. I am not interested in that gameplay in the slightest, but hot damn, that trailer kind
of
hit.
It was so good. And like the idea of the branching paths, what if Dune, like, cause Dune is really kind of set it, but that world is so interesting, but it's hard to do games in that universe, and making it a what if game, kind of like what they did with like Shadows of Mordor and things like that, where they did like, hey, we're not worried about the story. Do your own thing.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have our own fan fiction story. That's what I think the way to do Dune. And it hit that itch. And I was like, I wish we could get a Dune game that wasn't an RTS or a MMO.
Fucking give me a Shadows of Mordor. Like, just give me a cool ass hack and slash that happens to that.
I was okay with a Dune visual novel here, honestly. Like, at the very end. Like, I was cool with all of it. And I was like, that's an MMO. I'm probably going to play it.
Cool.
Yes, we understand that, but there are Dune fans that listen to us and pay us money.
Cool, keep doing that. I'm not one of them.
So, then there was a couple of things that I don't really, like, what really did not care about. But then they brought out Sam Lake.
Yep, he did his little dance.
Did a little goofy dance. And good goofy guy.
He announced, hey, we know Alan Wake 2 hasn't had physical versions. Well, guess what, motherfuckers? Physical versions are coming, as well as a not at all inspired by Twilight Zone DLC.
And he did the great thing. He's like, the DLC, it'll be coming less than 24 hours.
Looked at his watch that he actually had on his wrist.
It was a really good... That there wasn't a whole lot of like presentation at this, which is, again, something that's always that's missing from... this, because that was always a part of E3, as this is trying to, and it was fun to have him come out and goof and have fun with it. Like, I missed some of that presentation aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this was really cool. That Alan Wake is still getting stuff, and it is very popular, and it's kind of awesome.
It looks like they're combining the Remedy worlds, which I know was a thing, because I know the Control DLC mm-hmm. did tie into Alan Wake 2. But now it looks like they're bringing back the main character from Control, and could be mistaken, but it looks like they're bringing back the main character from Quantum Break,
mm-hmm.
which was kind of the black sheep of the family. But now
they're like, hey, welcome, a part of us. Then it really got dull. I'm not going to lie.
The last bit of the show I was really checking.
It really got dull. There were some interesting titles that maybe New World Aeternum looked like kind of interesting, but again, nothing grabbed. Dark and Darker was a free-to-play.
It looked like free-to-play budgeted Skyrim.
It was the Skyrim we had at home.
Capcom unveiled a new game.
Yeah, Kinoshigama, Path of the Goddess.
Which looked unique. They didn't really tell us what the gameplay was. I was guessing kind of like a real-time strategy type of thing.
Yeah, real-time tactics.
Right? Yeah, tactics type of game, because it didn't look like a tactical RPG, but maybe it was. It looked kind of like a tactical hack and slash almost.
Yeah. What was that RTS they unveiled that had the anime shit intro? It's like, it's an RTS. They keep getting away with it.
That was... I don't remember what that one was.
I know I had a two-word title.
Yeah, was the yeah, I don't remember. But yeah, it kind of, as I said, it got kind of dull. Not going to lie, the first half of the Game Fest was better than the second half. But we got that they're an update to Party Animals.
Yeah, they're adding a bunch of new stuff to Party Animals, which is really cool. I think I'm the only one.
Yeah. Who played, well, when they announced it, you got real geeked when they announced it. So.
Yeah. Yes. I think it is really cool they're turning party animals into kind of like its own kind of platform type thing.
Skate got a weird little skit that.
And then unveiling that it was Skate.
Yeah, that they're working into it. They're working on it. They're gonna try to get a console testing here in the fall. Cool. Skate's happening. This is one of those that I'm like, okay, with more announcements, like, yeah, we're still working. We know we got, mm-hmm. we don't have much, and they're kind of poking at themselves that we don't have much.
And like, I really like Skate 3, and I've been hearing about, this is the one that I've been hearing about for forever, is the new Skate game. So mm-hmm. it'll be cool to finally see it happen.
I like the very big contrast from Mason's, like, the game he's been waiting for years. It's a punk skater fantasy. And me and Charlie like, ooh, Son of Kong.
Yep. Yep.
The two genders.
Pal World's getting an update. I don't know much about Pal World other than it sold a ton of copies and Pokemon ripoff, and it looked fine.
It's like Pokemon with guns is mm-hmm. what it looks like. And I have it downloaded on my Xbox because it's on Game Pass, so I've been wanting to check it out. I just haven't yet.
Pokemon with guns, but we already have a Digimon game.
Exactly. Digimon exists. So
they get guns? I didn't know that. I don't care about Digimon.
You'll have your wonderful cat. You'll love it. And it'll turn into a machine with guns or hot anime lady. You don't know which.
What's the one rabbit that... Sorry for that, Tanner. What's the one that is literally just a rabbit but has fucking chain guns for
him? Terriermon evolves into Gargomon, who just has guns on his arms.
Good lord. Indeed.
Anyway, then the show came to a screeching halt as they spent forever talking about Valorant.
Talked about Valorant. I have absolutely no interest in Valorant, but Valorant must have a shit ton of money to spend because they were on there for like a good
five. The big announcement was Valorant is coming to consoles. That was the big thing, which again, I've seen a lot of people kind of speculating going, okay, because the control setup doesn't necessarily fit for consoles, a lot of people say, so how will it work? But
from what
it is big news that they are bringing this to consoles.
It is big, but my thing is apparently it's, I haven't played it myself, like I said, but apparently it's like a CSGO clone or a Counter-Strike clone, and it's like...
But with anime characters.
But Counter-Strike is still exclusive to the PC, so how does that work? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know much about Valorant. I'm sorry. It's popular. I know the name. And honestly, I checked out for a large chunk of this section.
I started looking shit up on Sonic X Shadow Generations.
We had the one thing that nobody would have had on the bingo card, a clip from Inside Out 2.
Yeah.
With a streamer, voice actor, voicing one of the characters. But honestly, the clip was pretty funny.
It's really funny.
The clip was funny. Forget his name. Is it Lance Darkblade?
Lance Slashblade,
yeah. It's probably the one thing that I've seen that makes me the most excited for Inside Out 2.
It has this guy with this big sword, humongous sword, but his attack is like he rolls into a ball and like goes there, and that is so funny to poke fun at.
It is hilarious.
Because I like the idea that he has this big ass sword and he never uses it.
When he goes into a ball, he drops it.
Yep.
Disgust, I'm pretty sure, got more dialogue here than she did the entirety of the first movie.
it was legitimately kind of like, it said, I decently intrigued for Inside Out. My daughter is very excited for it, so like I'm going to be seeing it. Like, but like this actually was like one of the bigger like, oh yeah, that's funny. I'm interested. I actually like, yeah.
Yeah, I love the first Inside Out. It's mm-hmm. one of my favorite Pixar movies, but I'm not sure I'll see this one in theaters because I'm like, got other shit to do.
Yeah. But then I think this was Savage Busters. No, that's the not Savage, Squad Busters. I can read my own handwriting. Squad Busters, that's the long money trailer with all the actors.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, that trailer, that was like, it had funny moments.
But also, it was like, what is game? Oh, it's a phone touch game.
It reminded me a lot of, you remember a while ago, I'm probably the only one who remembers this, to be honest. There was a Nintendo Direct with a trailer for a game called Knockout City.
Yes.
And it had like, you know, the 16-bit princess character, this orc from a fantasy game, and this military dude, and they were all doing interviews. And we're like, oh, what game is this? It's a fucking Fortnite clone, but with dodgeball.
And yep.
All I could think of was that. I'm like, man, I would kind of prefer like a series based on the characters.
Yeah, and it's unfortunately, I think the problem with the mobile franchise is you have these, they spend a whole lot of money because they are incredibly profitable using shady tactics, but they're incredibly profitable and they hire big actors and they just kind of have weird trailers that do have nothing to do with the game. People download the game and spend money on it, get addicted to it, blank and whatever, but legitimately this is...
Remember when Ryan Reynolds was doing ads for that one mobile game for a while?
Did he do Clash of Clans?
No, it wasn't Clash. It was a
cartoon.
That's right, yeah.
Toon Blast.
There we go,
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah. And again, I don't bemoan anyone for work. You know, someone hires you and you're going to do money, do a commercial, whatever. But, like, it's always just like...
Like, I don't give a shit. Like, Will Arnett showed up. That was funny. Chris Hemsworth showed up. That was funny. Dolph Lundgren showed up.
Yeah.
Chris
Hemsworth counterpart. The ad was actually decently funny, but, like... It was one of those, it was just like, oh, it's for a mobile game that they have nothing to actually sell, so they're trying to sell you on this goofy stuff. And then we had the final two games. Like the PlayStation Showcase or PlayStation State of Play last week, Monster Hunter Wilds is one of the end games. Looks pretty. Yep. Unfortunately, none of us have connection to Monster Hunter, so
yeah,
we have nothing really to say other than that looked like they were hunting some monsters.
Yes. If you're a Monster Hunter fan, I know you went berserk because Monster Hunter fans think Wilds looks amazing, but I am not a Monster Hunter fan.
Yeah.
The only connection that I have to Monster Hunter is I played Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, and the main character from Monster Hunter is in it. Not even as a playable character, she's DLC.
Yeah,
I guess that wouldn't be...
Hey, Capcom worked with three games that does this... they had three different games they gave announcements for today. So
that is true.
Hey, Capcom, branching out new game and two of the ones you always do. A little surprise, no Resident Evil. Like that was legitimately like I thought was going to be kind of a free space on a bingo card.
Resident Evil,
but they maybe don't have something yet to unveil. So
yeah, probably because the rumors are a Code Veronica or Zero. Really, mm-hmm. So
that finished off with a PlayStation game that we saw about a year ago. That looks really interesting. Phantom Blade Zero.
Yeah, looks really cool.
It kind of looks like a mixture between Souls and kind of the hack and slash, like hyper, like crazy moves, but also kind of like that Souls boss element to it.
Yeah, a bit of the character action game mixed with, that Souls-like
element. When we first saw it, I know we were like, ooh, that looks interesting. And then I was like, yeah, that looks kind of cool. I don't know if that's one that's like, it'll probably be one that I try later on. It probably isn't an early purchase, but
right.
It definitely looks really cool. And like, it looks like they've kind of taken the Souls formula and decided to do something a little different with it. And I like that.
And considering for me, part of the things that I like, I really like character action games and some of the elements from the Souls-like game, so combining them both is actually pretty sick.
Yeah, and so, hey, this was a pretty solid game fest. We're going to go around and say what our favorite game was, and give our kind of like our closing on that. So, Mason, what was your favorite game from this?
Oh, my favorite game from this.
Or favorite announcement, I guess. You know, if you say anyone says Street Fighter VI, it wasn't less the game; it was more of a DLC.
Yeah. Favorite sort of announcement thing. Probably the Blumhouse Games thing. I think that was really
cool. None of the game, because like, we didn't see a whole lot from the games other than just quick little things. But like the idea of it's very same thing with the Outer Sloth. Both those things are like really like okay, that's a way you can stimulate the game industry a bit with maybe smaller but money behind titles with a big company like Blumhouse making something, or you know, with Inner Sloth sharing the wealth type of thing, because you know, those were both really cool announcements, and I think could bring really interesting stuff.
And you know, and as someone who has like an appreciation for Blumhouse and all the stuff that they do, even the not great stuff,
mm-hmm.
I'm really interested to see where this goes. I want to see their games be as expensive. Like I want to see them make as many games as they do movies, if
mm-hmm.
that makes any sense.
Yeah, and I think that'd be really cool, and especially if they're not worried about, like, big graphical games. They're worried about more, how can we stimulate the horror experience in games?
Yes.
Because, again, like, There, we just recently played Buckshot Roulette on it'll be on our YouTube, and that is a horror aesthetics without being a horror game, and is really fun. Like, you can make that sort of thing, and it still adds a lot of those elements to it. Yes. So I think those sort of, it looks like they're investing in a lot of different types of games. So very cool. Thomas, what was your favorite?
There was a couple that I really liked. Obviously, Sonic Shadow Generations, because Sonic
fan. Yeah, we're all Sonic whores.
right. I was trying not to be obvious.
Yeah. Killer Bean, I thought, still looked pretty cool, but no shit. For some reason, Delta Force Hawk Ops looked like the most interesting one to me.
That does feel very much like, again, another one we didn't have any Call of Duty announcement, which we thought might be on
like I said, Black Ops 6 has their own thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fair. That's true.
I mean, plus, obviously, Fatal Fury, City of Wolves looks like it goes so hard. But Delta Force Hawk Ops was the only thing that really caught my attention of, like, I didn't expect to want to play. But I kind of do know. Is it like a day one purchase? No. But
if it's a free download multiplayer, you might day one download type of thing.
Maybe.
Yeah, but it definitely looks interesting. And I like that there's a lot of possibilities. If you're starting with Black Hawk Down, there's a lot of actual historical possibilities you can do with that to play through historical type things.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, these are remakes. These are ground up remakes of old first person shooters.
Mm-hmm. It definitely was a really it was unique, definitely. I think, I mean, the obvious answer for me is probably Sparking Zero, but I knew that coming in.
Yeah.
Power Rangers was a big, oh, that's awesome. Yeah,
that's another one.
That was just like,
I don't want to be
that's obvious. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Honestly, at the end, Phantom Blade Zero legitimately was one that kind of stole the show a bit for me. Like, that was legitimately, like, really awesome. I like the way they incorporate a lot of those elements that we see from it. It was one that really stuck out. Again, nothing huge, but I think my game is probably going to be either Black Myth Wukong or Metaphor. Mm-hmm. Both those games, again, one I can access because it's a PS5 exclusive, and one that I won't be able to access because it's an Xbox exclusive at the moment. Unless everyone listens to our show and subscribes to our YouTube and pays us money on our Patreon, then I can get an Xbox. Definitely a reason to exist right now. But Sun Wukong, it's a game we've been hearing about a long time. And so, like, I really, you know.
The fact that it's finally
coming. Yeah. And then just Metaphor, it scratched that RPG anime fun. But I just think the way they talked about it, I think that there's a lot of really going to be really interesting stuff in the game that they aren't telling and hinting at. So, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Honestly, Summer Game Fest was better than I expected.
It was very solid. I don't think it was as good as last year, but it was definitely better than the first one.
I think it was better as a whole than last year. Last year just had a couple big bomb drops, but remember how boring the majority of last year's was?
That's true.
Like, last year had, like, three oh my gosh moments and a lot of okay.
Yeah.
This was, like, pretty consistent outside until the very, like last 25, 30 minutes that got a little boring. But again, that was more like, I'm sure there are people all around who are really excited about a lot of those announcements because that was kind of the zone of gaming that I'm not necessarily as big into.
Right.
But they announced RTSs, they announced RPGs, they announced first-person shooters, action games, indie games, horror games.
Studios.
A movie clip from a movie that nobody expected to be at it. Like, legitimately, they did a pretty good job. And I think, would I have liked a big, you know, mouth on the floor, oh my gosh, I can't believe that is trailer is here, which would have been like Sonic 3 movie trailer. But in the end, I was solidly impressed. Not amazing. It doesn't replace E3 in my heart, but did a solid job.
I don't think anything could.
I was gonna say, I don't think it ever.
I think they can, again, they can tweak the formula. They can tweak stuff if they bring more presentation, if Sony or Microsoft or Nintendo are more willing to come out and give a 10-minute quick presentation type of thing. They can tweak these sort of things. And we know Microsoft has their own show on Sunday. If any big announcement, maybe we have a recap. Probably not, but probably not. Last year, that's where they debuted Star Wars Outlaws was the Microsoft event. So they will probably have something pretty cool down the pike.
I remember because I woke up and Sean was like, hey, new Star Wars game. I was like, what the fuck?
But yeah. If you guys watched the Summer Game Fest, what was your favorite game? What was exciting? What do you look forward to in the future? Let us know. Send us an email, bleepyouplaying@gmail.com. That's bleepyouplaying@gmail.com. And, you know, we play games as well. We play them, and we talk about them here on this podcast. So if you want to make us play a game, you can do that. Subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/whatthebleep. We'll play a game, $15 a month at our super bleephead tier, and we'll play that game, and we'll talk about it. And thank you for tuning in, and we'll be back with a regular podcast next time.